Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Tune Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Lifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. It's another Tune Machine episode, of course, where we look back at a historical top 40 chart from the world of pop, as chosen for us by the random pop blob. What is it we've got to say before it tells us the chart? Random blob. Open your gob.
Open your gob.
Tell us how to do our job.
Do our job.
Pop job, if you like. And the chart that it's given us this week is
18th of February 1987.
Thank you very much, random pop blob.
That would have been that's my dad's birthday.
Was it?
18th February. And on that day, he would have been celebrating, let's see now, his 47th birthday.
Well, fancy that.
So I don't know what he did. But I like to think about it. Perhaps I like to think he went out to a disco and danced to some of the very tracks we were about to discuss.
I would imagine he would have done, yes. Definitely, yeah. To celebrate his 40th, yeah. Well, we have to...
47th?
Sorry, 47th. I apologise.
Yeah.
We have to... So that means he was born in the same year as John Lennon then, because John Lennon's birthday is about now. He's on the front cover of the Radio Times this week. John Lennon at 80. So he's born 1940.
So yeah, 1940, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, just before lockdown, we celebrated my dad's 80th, yeah.
Right. Was there any mention of John Lennon at the party?
My dad met John Lennon once.
Oh.
But he, you know, he won't have much good to say about him.
Oh. That's quite telling. All right.
My dad would be like, yes, I met John Lennon once. He was an absolute arsehole or something like that.
Quite a cunt. Yeah. Let's do the top 40 rundown, shall we? Here we go. In at number 40, Bananarama, Trick of the Night.
At 39, down from 26, it's Big Fun by the Gap Band.
In at 38, Sambo and Lou Reed, Soul Man.
Up from number 50 to 37.
No, good it's not to go. Up. It's a chart entry if it goes into the top 40 from outside the 40. Jesus.
Right. Chart entry. At number 37, it's Gwen Guthrie with Good To Go Lover / Outside In The Rain.
Chart entry at 36, Freddie Jackson, Have You Ever Loved Somebody? I have actually, Freddie. Many people.
I have, but never again. At least I
have. Business isn't of yours anyway, Freddie Jackson? None, I'd say.
It's a fool's errand, falling in love. Just pain all the way. I intend to avoid it at all costs going
forward.
Dizzying
highs followed by chaotic lows.
Sickening lows. 35. Up from 43. How many lies, Spandau Ballet?
No, well, that fits in very well. It's a chart entry.
Oh, yeah. Chart entry at 35. It's the Spandau Ballets with How Many Lies? How many lies exactly? Put a number to it.
How many times have you got to be told to obey the laws of the chart, Sam? Down at 34. UB40, they've got a rat in their kitchen.
At 33, it's a former number one, but it's down from 23. Reet Petite, 1986 version by that boy, Jackie Wilson.
Down to 32, Rosie Vela, Magic Smile. Oh.
Down 10 places at 31, Surrender by the Swing Out Sisters.
Down 14 to 30, Robbie Neville, C'est la vie.
At 29, it's Forgotten Down by the Christians.
Down at 28, Alison Moyet asks, Is this love?
Hopefully not, Alison, because as I said earlier, if it is, I wish you well, but you've got nothing but tears and heartache ahead of you.
You'll find yourself like Spandau Ballet asking how many lies.
Now, here's a woman who's speaking my language at 27. It's Elkie Brooks, No More the Fool.
Straight in at 26, the Communards with You Are My World.
At 25, it's the Duran Durans talking about the skin trade.
Oh. Down 12 at 24, it's crime apologists, the Smiths, Shoplifters of the World Unite.
At 23, it's a chart entry for Simply Red, The Right Thing.
In at 22, Westworld, Sonic Boom Boy, This Is How the Future Sounds.
Talking of the future, at 21, Timbuk 3, see what they did there?
Yeah.
Say that the future's so bright, I gotta wear shades.
Down 12 at 20, Steve Silk Hurley, Jack Your Body.
Well, I'd love to, Steve, but...
That's got probably a bit what of I'm going to be doing to myself now. I'm not going to be falling in love anymore.
With my back, you've got to be careful when you get to jacking your body my too sciatica. Hard. At 19, up 20 places, Live It Up by Mental As Anything.
Crazy guys, crazy song.
Mental illness is funny. It's 1987, guys. Lighten up.
Up 12 and 18, Jets with Crush On You.
At 17, the boys from Europe encourage you to rock the night.
Down 2 at 16, she's moved over from the world of curry to the world of pop. It's Vesta Williams, once bitten, twice shy.
It's old Slow Hand himself, Eric Clapton at 15 with Behind the Mask.
Up from 22 to 14, he's a woman I'd definitely go on. Carly Simon coming around again.
And if I did have Carly Simon round to my apartment in Guildford after a night out, perhaps, the song that I'd play to her would be this one at number 13, Hot Chocolates, You Sexy Thing.
Down 6 at 12, it's Taffy with I Love My Radio.
At 11, down from 7, it's Michael Crawford and Sarah Brightman with The Music of the Night / Wishing You Were Somehow Here Again.
Up 8 at 10, level 42, the bosses of the charts. Running in the family.
Great Isle of Wight lads.
Great guys.
Enjoy my summers there, often bump into Mark and the boys for a bit of coining and shankling. At number 9... it's 5 Star with Stay Out of My Life.
Bold. Down 3 and 8, the Blow Monkeys, It Doesn't Have to Be This Way.
At number 7, Randy Crawford, Al Naz.
Up 3 at 6, Man to Man meets Man Parish with Male Stripper.
Is that a thing? I've never heard of such a thing. They must be joking.
You don't want to go there, mate.
Number 5, When a Man Loves a Woman, Percy Sledge. It was out of the advertisement that you might have seen on the television for denim trousers. Trousers.
Buy trousers.
American trousers. Not my cup of tea, but
there you go.
Their own.
Down 2 at number 4, it's Pepsi and Shirley with Heartache.
At number 3, it's Backwards Hair in Hat Lunatics, Curiosity Killed the Cat with Down to Earth.
Down 1 at 2, George Michael and Aretha Franklin with I Knew You Were Waiting for Me.
Just to clarify, they put in brackets at the end, for me, as opposed to for a bus.
Or the start of the next sale.
And at number 1, up 18 places, also from an American trouser advert, which seems to be dominating the charts this week, Stand By Me by Ben E. King.
That's your chart.
Ben E. King, of course. When you look at artists, pop artists, who include a middle initial in their name, hit Benny King or Marky Smith, who do you think's better?
Marky Smith, obviously.
Really?
Is he the only... Benny King.
Ben E. King,
There was another
Smith.
One I can think of as well, but it was a kind of a pun name.
Yeah, E. Yeah.
I can't remember. It's off, not off the top of my head at the minute.
Easy E. Easy E from NWA.
Yeah.
We can throw him into the mix.
It wasn't the middle name, though, was it?
Was no, not, yeah, because he's...
Oh, that was it someone in the Bobby Sox? Bob E... Someone in the
yeah.
Bobby Sox.
Bob E. Sox.
Bob E. Sox and the Bobby Sox. Was it? I can't remember. I think that was a Phil Spector thing, so that's tainted
by
murder.
He was actually a middle name. People called him Easy E for short, but his actual full name was...
Easy Edward.
E. Johnson.
Right.
Yeah. Easy E. Johnson, yeah.
One of the ones that stood out there for me was, where is it? Mental as Anything, number 19, going up 20 places with Live It Up. Whenever I hear that song on the 80s channels that I sometimes listen to on the radio when I'm driving around, I'm always reminded of my friend from Twitter, Harry Flowers, who's got an alternative version of the lyrics there. Hey there, you with the sad face, come up to my place and wank me off. That's all I can hear now whenever I hear that song.
That is very good.
It is.
Yeah, I always enjoyed, an old friend of mine used to always sing the Cranberries song. I mean, there's loads of these. We could go down a rabbit hole of these. But,
is this going to be Zombie?
No, it wasn't Zombie. Right. It was, Do You Have to Let It Linger?
Yeah.
But they always sang, Do You Have to Always Finger? Do you have to always finger?
Well, yes, because as we've tried to do on this podcast before, we're going to bring fingering back.
You do have to finger if you're a gentleman and a modern lover. Mm. Fingering is very much part of what the French call foreplay, which might be unfamiliar to our British listeners, but it's basically a form of like warming up the lady before, you know, going straight.
It's
straight
like
in.
When that horrible noise an orchestra makes when it's tuning up before they start the actual symphony. That's what foreplay is.
It's like tuning an instrument.
Or cleaning out the thing in the corner where that spit all gathers up. You clean that out, don't you? It's got a little thing that you lift
off.
Yeah,
I mean, there is very often spit involved in this process. Like I say, it's very popular in France. Some people do it here. And in other countries, it's mainly French.
It's
a French
one of those
invention.
Things that has come across the channel.
It has, yeah.
Like pastries and things like
you'll
that.
You'll get pastries, yeah.
But
you'll
things,
get them, you know, Vanessa Paradis, she had a couple of hits. Daft Punk.
Yeah.
That
some
translates
haven't
well,
made
doesn't
the transition
it?
Like horse meat.
No, yeah. And also pooing in the shower, which
pooing in
the
shower,
French do.
That's a French thing, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, fingering, like you say.
Fingering has made the transition, yeah.
If you don't know what it is, we won't go into detail here. We've got a separate sex podcast, which is coming soon, which is just entirely devoted to sex
advice. We've got a mini-series coming up soon all about fingering.
It's general sex, but it will mainly focus on fingering. But look it up and give it a go. Give it a go.
You never know. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
No, it's like everything can be done.
It's like, you know, a lot of people started baking bread in lockdown, didn't they? Give it a go.
Yeah, there's more baking bread than fingering went on. And that's probably wrong.
All that time you were kneading dough, you could have been kneading your... Mrs. what do you call it? Anyway.
American trousers. American trousers loom large in this chart, don't they?
They do,
You've got Percy Sledge at number 5 and you've got Benny King. They obviously both come out the same week, so it must have been a joint campaign. Do you remember either of the adverts that those songs...
I remember the Percy Sledge one quite well.
What was that about? Because I've had a quick look at them and I couldn't remember either of them.
These were the first... Like the first one was obviously Heard It Through the Grapevine, which is the most famous American trouser advert. When it came, they were really good. And then they followed that. That was in 1986. And then they followed it up with these two. And I don't remember the Benny King.
Reet Petite's in the chart as well by Jackie Wilson. That was an advert for Plasticine, wasn't it?
Well, no. It must have been in an advert. If not, why was it suddenly out?
I think it was just that video they made for it with the Plasticine Jackie Wilson, which Aardman Animations had made.
It was a fucking great video.
I think it was
video.
Just on the back of that. I don't know why.
And wasn't it joint number one the previous Christmas with the House Martins' Caravan of Love?
Can't be joint number one. What?
Well, look it up, mate. It's quite a famous incident of what happened because there was a big, very tight race for Christmas number one 1986. I'm sure I saw a thing about it recently, you know, Top of the Pops 1986 something, and they had a very close race, and when it got to Christmas Day, they had sold, I think they had sold the exact same number of records.
No, they hadn't. You can't have a joint number one. I'm not having that. You're imagining it. What you're thinking of is when God Save the Queen by the Sex Pistols only got to number two, when in fact it should have been number one in the week of the Jubilee in 1977.
Just going to... 1986 Christmas number one.
I mean, I'm not denying it was close. It might well have been.
It was Reet Petite, Jackie Wilson.
Yeah, House Martins were number one the week before, weren't they? Or was it the week after?
Oh, okay. All right.
But Reet Petite was still in this chart, and the House Martins are nowhere to be seen. Caravan of Love dropped like a sack of shit.
Out. They crashed out.
Yeah.
But it was obviously Reet Petite's a great song, and it was a fucking great video. But what it was, I interviewed the bloke once about the bloke who made those Levi's adverts, and he reckons that, you know, bringing back like that in the punk era, because the whole kind of anything that went before is shit, and it's your dad's music. People thought that was just like prog rock and that sort of shit, but actually extended to everything, including old soul.
Yeah.
So even soul records, people were like, fuck Motown.
Fuck off. I want to listen to The Clash.
I'm going to gob on you.
I'm going to listen to X-ray specs. Fuck you.
I'm going to put fucking food dye in my head, in my hair, and then spit at people. I hate Marvin Gaye. Right? And they thought, okay, people have had enough of that now. Mm. And he went, there was genuinely like a bit of a generation who'd sort of come of age in the kind of punk, post-punk era, who hadn't really been exposed to all those classics.
Yeah.
He said, so when they started just picking them up quite cheap, they were available fairly cheaply to use on the ad, people went mad because it was like, fucking hell,
what's this?
Is like, you know, heard it through the grapevine. Is arguably the best song ever. A lot of people would make a strong argument for that. A lot of people say that. And you're like, fucking hell, what's this? And so it brought it back and made Motown a huge amount of money because they were suddenly reselling all these records. They were all going number one. So suddenly, selecting which the next Levi song was like a massive deal. Whereas before, they just had an idea for an ad. And then the last thing they decided was, oh, what song should we stick over the top of it?
Yeah.
Then it became... Before they'd thought of the ad, what song are we going to do for the next ad?
And then
ad?
Design the ad around it and make it like a 60-second mini drama sort of thing.
Jalapeño.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
And when a man loves a woman, I remember that. I don't remember the one that was Stand By Me, but I remember When a Man Loves a Woman, because I think that was, there was one it was like something to do with a soldier
he'd gone off to do his soldiering. He'd gone on the soldier bus and he handed the package to his lass before he went off, and then she went
here's
home.
Here's my trousers to remember me by.
I want you to kick my trousers. And then she goes home. Yeah. And you just see her dress fall to the floor, and you think, whoa! And then she's on the bed pulling the trousers on, and then she has a wank.
It's lovely. She fingers herself.
With these American trousers on.
Yeah. And then it was a phenomenon. Women were going out buying the American trousers and fingering themselves off. And Yeah. Get yourself a pair of these strides and have a wank. You'll never look back.
That's Levi's. The underlying message in this advert.
Levi's since 1862.
The overlying message is buy American trousers. The underlying message is go home and have a wank. If you're on your own...
It might fucking chill you out a bit and cheer you up and all.
The underlying message is, right, it's 1987, there's fucking AIDS everywhere, stay safe, have a wank with your American trousers on.
That would have been a better fucking message to stop AIDS.
Yeah, have a wank. Just chill out and have a wank.
Stay safe, have a wank, yeah.
The Benny King one, I looked at this as well, Stand By Me one, was the nightclub doorman sign, and it says, no blue jeans.
Oh, and the fella tries to get
in, and then the other fella with the black jeans gets in, and the doorman sort of grimaces a bit like, oh, he got past my
with
rule.
Your fucking black jeans.
Black jean cunt.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I mean, that.
I'll kick him in the fucking head on the way out.
Yeah, I'll fucking do him in the box. I'll wait till he goes for a piss, then I'll fucking say that I saw him doing coke and kick his face in.
Because of course that was that was the bouncer way back then.
That's what bouncers did.
Yeah.
The black jeans were quite a big. I mean, when I saw black Levi's in that advert, I was like, "What the fuck's this?"
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was a big thing.
But they did.
Then,
they did. I don't know about your kids' schools, but my kids' school is psychopathic about uniform.
I think they all are now. Yeah.
It drives me fucking mad. It is pathetic and Lampard nonsense.
What, are you trying to
say? You must have the correct laces. If not, you should be sent home.
Laces?
Or put in isolation.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely horrendous and pathetic, the whole thing. But she goes to the same school that I went to.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I actually liked the school uniform to the extent that it probably still influences the way I dress today. That's really weird.
You dress like a schoolboy.
It was navy. Yeah, well, I kind of do, but it was navy. And it was pretty relaxed. And I remember the reason I'm talking about it was you could wear black jeans. Mm. So I got a pair of black jeans. Then I could wear a plain navy sweatshirt and I could wear black trainers. That's not bad. I'd go out like that out of choice.
I'm trying to think what we would wear, because it probably was quite lax as well. I think we would probably be wearing black stay pressed rather than your traditional school trousers with the pleats down the middle.
Yeah, but, the nylon ones.
Yeah, there was a bit of...
That start to smell quite quickly.
I don't know about trainers. I don't think we were out to wear trainers. I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it was all kickers and pods at school, so that's what everybody had. You either had a pair of kickers or a pair of pods, but you ought to follow the colour rules for the school.
Yeah, well, we were all quite keen on looking like the rappers.
The rappers.
When I was
you're
school.
Slightly younger than me, so it's even just that 3-year difference.
Yeah, things change quick. So we were really into looking like the rappers. So I'd wear trainers. Yeah, some black trainers.
Big trainers like, with like big. Like tongue sticking out the top of them.
With the tongue sticking out. And the baggiest black jeans I could find. No, Mother. Don't get them in the right size, you stupid cow. That's not how Eazy-E wears them in the NWAs. Here. Get them 4 to 5 sizes too big.
Here, Mother. Here's a photograph of Tone Luke. Now, I would like to go to school looking like him, so please replicate this uniform for me.
Take this picture to the shop. Get me some running shoes with large tongues and a pair of excessively large American trousers in black. Also, get me one of the following baseball caps.
Go to the American trouser store.
Yeah, so...
Well, of course, we got all our jeans... In this part of the world, we got from a shop called Geordie Jeans, which existed.
Ah!
Have you seen the Shooting Stars advert for Geordie Jeans?
I thought that was just something they made up.
That was a chain store in the
Geordie
Jeans. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
what were Geordie... But it wasn't a brand, right? They sold just recognised brands.
I think they probably sold high-end expensive jeans, but they also saw like generic cheap jeans as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they'll have either not manufactured, but they'll have had imported from somewhere. Because you used to, that was where you got your cheap jeans, was from Geordie Jeans. But it had this kind of like coolness about it as well. Yeah, Geordie Jeans was a thing.
In those days, it was mainly like you had Levi's, Wranglers,
yeah,
and Lee jeans, didn't you?
That was it. That was the holy trinity of jeans.
There it was, yeah. I had loads of Levi's. I think I had Lee. I don't think I've ever owned a pair of Wranglers, mind you.
I think I will have done at some point, just for a change of scenery. Change of jean scenery.
Yeah. You've got to mix it up once in a while, you're right.
You have.
Your jeans life can just really become stale quite easily.
Yeah. I remember being pissed off by this infiltration of old songs into the charts because I was all about... I mean, I quite like the songs, but I was all about what was new and what was cutting edge.
Yeah.
And that fucked me off that the charts were being clogged up with all these... I mean, cover versions came along as well. There was loads of cover versions at the time as well, wasn't there?
There was.
This was the sort of post pop of the early 80s, mid 80s.
The classic 80s, yeah. I think 87 is when what I think of and what we discuss as like the 80s. Mm. I kind of think in 87, I mean, I don't see any Stock Aitken and Waterman in this chart, but it was just around the corner.
Yeah.
And the sort of 80s that was dominated by bands like Duran Duran, Spandau Ballet, Wham, and other ones.
They'd all gone serious and they'd all fucking gone off their heads by that point, hadn't they?
Duran Duran and Spandau are in this chart, but a couple of years beforehand, they would have been number one and two because anything they released would have been huge. And we're sort of past that classic phase of 80s pop in 87. And sometimes when you're between phases, you get weird phenomena that kind of fill the gaps. There's this nostalgia.
Acid House is kind of just coming along, or house music, because Jack Your Body is a number 20 because that had been number one for ages. So house music was just coming into things. Skin Trade by Duran Duran, probably my favourite single by them. It's a fucking great song. They did that with Nile Rodgers.
I know that song.
You will do. They did it with Nile Rodgers on their comeback.
Oh yeah, he did a few songs with them, didn't he?
So they had a bit of credibility. What was it, Spandau Ballet in at 35 with How Many Lies? No recollection of that whatsoever.
How many lies exactly do you intend to tell?
This is probably when they're falling out with each other. These songs are probably about the crumbling relationship.
Yeah, Gary Kemp has written that.
I've written a song. I want you all to listen to it very carefully.
About the number of lies that someone called Tony, who shall remain nameless, has told to the rest of us.
So we've done American Trousers. Number two, George Michael and Aretha Franklin. I knew you were waiting for me.
What a track. A track.
We sang this, didn't we, on stage on our very first ever live performance.
In our first ever live show, yeah.
Video exists. I still haven't seen the video. Is there a reason why I haven't seen the video? Have you been keeping it for a reason?
I'd love to send it. I mean, my wife, who is the only, and I'm sure it'll be the first and the last. She did see us at Leicester Square.
Does your wife own the rights to it? Is that why I haven't seen it? Do I have to...
She filmed it, but she said it was the worst thing she'd ever seen. But she was very specific that she was talking about my performance.
She burned the tips.
Well, you're regarded as a good singer. People who don't understand expressive performances think that I am not a good singer.
I think that's just among the podcast community. I don't think I'm a good singer in the realms of like Benny King and Percy Sledge.
Well, okay, but amongst podcasters, you're one of the top singers.
I think I am, yeah. I don't think anyone can deny that.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I would say that I have a style that some people find difficult, but that's just like some people might find, I don't know, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan had a very distinctive style.
And like free jazz, that sort of thing. A lot of people, to the untuned, untrained ear, that kind of thing is unlistenable, but... You know,
some people just don't get it. One of those people is my wife,
your good wife.
Said it was the worst thing she'd ever seen when we sang that. You sung the Aretha bit and I sung the George bit. I thought it was good. But
did she not feel as though you were singing it to her, perhaps?
What makes it even more upsetting to me is that I got up on that stage, she was in the front row, I sung I Knew You Were Waiting, brackets, for me.
For me.
And she threw it back in my face by saying that was shit and awful, and I cringed all the way through every time you opened your stupid, ugly mouth. No, she didn't say that. Her eyes said that, though.
Yeah. I forgot which one of us was George and which was Aretha.
I was George, and I specifically asked to be George because I've always thought I can do quite a good George impression, singing-wise. But when you're doing it in a live situation, first of all, I had nerves.
Yeah.
Second of all, I belt it out. My problem is I try to sing too loudly,
right?
Because I forget about the fact that you have a microphone.
Amplification technology. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what ruins it. But anyway, enough of our performance. This song, I suppose this is tied into the return of old music to the charts because, again, Aretha Franklin, part of the same sort of vibe. And George Michael's like, hey, I fucking know what to do here. In fact, there's a story about this. I can't remember. It's in the brilliant book, which we've definitely discussed before, by Simon Napier-Bell, about being Wham's manager in the 80s and then being at the Grammys and him suggesting to the manager of Aretha Franklin, but he also managed, I think it was Whitney.
Right.
And he said, and Whitney and George had both won big that year. They were on the same level,
I think, yeah.
In 86. And I think Simon Napier-Bell had said, we need to get them to do a song together.
Mm.
And the bloke said, well, no, we're never going to get that done with Whitney, but how about he does one with Aretha? And, of course, George was more into that.
Of course, yeah.
Than the idea of Whitney.
Did they never met, did they? They recorded their parts separately. And they're separate really? In the video as well. I don't think they ever met. Well, not at least that's during amazing. The recording of this anyway. Yeah.
Well, they do a fucking great job.
They're both dead and in heaven. Singing away with each other in heaven.
No, I reckon they still don't even see each other in heaven.
Do you reckon?
Because it's just a thing now. It's just awkward.
Because it's just it's a thing they do.
You know, you leave something too long. It's like when you see someone you know on a bus or a train.
Yeah.
And if you don't say hello straight away, then after that, it just becomes awkward.
Yeah.
To say hello at all. So you might have been on the same train for an hour. And by that time, you kind of, or if they do say hello, you have to go pretend you've been asleep. Oh, God, have you been here that whole time? Oh, I've been asleep.
I need my eyes testing.
I have been ignoring you. That's what you're thinking. I've just been asleep. So, oh, didn't I tell you I'm blind?
I think Aretha had just died as well when we did our tribute song.
That would have been why we did it, yeah.
Yeah, probably. A fitting tribute. To one of the greats.
Yeah, she would have been smiling down on us.
Yeah, of course she would have. She was. Because
remember,
laugh.
We've talked before about how our podcast is extremely popular among ghosts.
Of course it is. Yeah, massive up there.
Number one podcast in the ghost community.
Among the ghost community, indeed.
Yeah, the ghost community, do you know Shag Married Annoyed, right? Which I
massive
often see
down
as number
here.
Number one in the what I can only imagine the entirely fixed iTunes podcast charts.
I imagine it is. Yeah.
In heaven, the ghosts have barely heard of it. Just not their cup of tea.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Whereas this,
Shag Married Annoyed, fucking shit married bullshit, more like. That's the ghost speaking.
Yeah.
I think it's great, but the ghosts, don't like it.
Yeah, but they'll love us.
They absolutely love us. I love it when they do their characters. I love it when they talk about, you know, drinking tea and that. It's just so funny.
I mean, they've started to repeat themselves quite a bit recently, but that's all right. I don't go back and listen to the old ones much, so I don't mind it when they keep bringing up stuff they've said before.
People say they do the same. They've only got one voice and they do it for every character, but... I don't notice that. I think they're very versatile.
I think it's an effective voice anyway. I don't mind it.
if there's one thing I've learned in the ghost world, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's the old point of being a ghost. Everything stays the same forever. So,
you don't age.
I'm all right with it.
You stay the age you were when you died.
Right, we'll leave it there. We've got loads more to cover in this chart, so it's going to be at least a two-part or three-parter, because, I mean, Pepsi and Shirley, we haven't touched upon yet. We were too busy talking about wanking at the beginning.
And it doesn't have to be this way. A classic by the Blow Monkeys at number eight.
We've got so much more in this top 40 to look at. We'll do that in a couple of weeks.
And at number 10, little heads up, Random Family, level 42, there is going to be some serious Isle of Wight chat if I've got anything to do with it. So
I'll just sit back and let you get on with that then. Good stuff. So, 2 weeks from now, I think there'll be another one of these, and we'll have another look at 18th of February 1987. Thank you for listening. TTF Endicheads.
Just rest.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.